and speak to people that actually answer the phone, it's kind of incredible. My whole philosophy is, if you answer the phone in today's economy, you're going to inherit the earth. That's all we do is I tell my salespeople, just answer the phone and you're going to get the business. It's all you got to do. Pick it up. It rings. Answer it. Incredible. Nobody answers the phone anymore. Join me now, Rabbi Menken and Paul Teller. Now, you guys probably don't know this, but on Wednesday, I'm going to Crown Heights, Brooklyn. And there's a rabbi there that invited Ann and I to one of his big events there. And we're going to, we're staying in Crown Heights. We're taking a tour. And there's going to be a lot of rabbis there, a lot of Orthodox Jews there. So I'm looking forward to that. Rabbi Menken, let's start with you. I just got to get your take on this. I know you're, Center for Jewish Values, you're executive vice president, all that good stuff. But Trump threw Zelensky out of the Oval Office and just threw him out of town. What did you make of that whole thing?
My question, when somebody said to me, it's like why are we not going with our supporting our ally, et cetera, et cetera? My question was, who went off script? They had worked out a deal. They'd hashed, apparently very difficult to hash out this deal for minerals, et cetera, et cetera. And he comes into the Oval Office. President Zelensky sits down and proceeds to go off script and demand things which the Americans had not been prepared to do as part of the deal. And that's when both Vice President Vance and then the president reacted, wait a minute, that's not what we said. You're not holding any cards here. It's only with us that you've got the cards. So don't pretend that you're negotiating with us over this stuff. So
Paul Teller?
That was my understanding. That's where we are.
Teller?
Morning. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly right. Let's I don't know if everyone agrees with this, but I would have hoped that someone in that room would have said, hey, you know what, media, get the heck out, so they could finish this conversation as like normal men and not performers in front of a camera, right? I think that would have been better for everybody, because now, unfortunately, Putin gets, a half hour of footage that he gets to watch on, constant cycle and replay and, smile and take his shirt off and get really excited, because, I don't see how this helps anyone except Putin,
Well, listen, I mean, Paul Teller, Zelensky goes in there. They had the luncheon all set. They had the signing documents there. You sign the deal. That was why he was there. You sign the deal, which if you sign it, it guarantees your security, because American companies and American executives and workers and their families are going in there. Well, obviously, Putin's not going to bomb them, because that escalates everything and he doesn't want us to get involved. So it was a de facto security guarantee. And what I thought Zelensky tried to do was litigate to the American people and get him on their side, and it blew up in his face. I mean, his polling numbers over the weekend, we understand, in the United States, the support for him dropped dramatically. And so I don't really know what, I don't think he can stay as president. I think the guy needs to resign. They could put somebody in there to negotiate a deal. Okay, let's get to Hamas and the hostage exchange, Paul. We get three hostages, they get like 9 million people. Who's doing this math?
Yeah, exactly. And don't forget, the hostages are innocent, right? These are victims of terrorism, held against their will, tortured, relatives killed in front of them, all of that. People Israel releasing are terrorists that were convicted of crimes. They themselves killing people, harming people, maiming people. You probably maybe have seen there was another terrorist attack in Israel recently. I think it was overnight, U.S. time, in Haifa, stabbing attack, 70-year-old killed out on the street, 15-year-old kid sent to the hospital, and then other victims. But somehow it's like a good deal to exchange, criminals and killers for innocent people. I'm just not seeing it, to be honest.
Rabbi Menken?
It's all about extortion. That's why Hamas does it. I mean, it's called racist to say one Jew is worth 50 Arabs. But of course, if you're Hamas, one Jew is worth 50 Arabs. I mean,
right.
It's really outrageous and disgusting. And And, of course, Netanyahu has now had the right reaction to Hamas intransigence. He said, okay, we're done with the humanitarian aid. Humanitarian aid is, this has been the most unhumanitarian move you could make. Giving Hamas, I mean, Hamas is a genocidal terror organization. They did October 7th, the worst pogrom since the Holocaust against the Jewish people. They desire the final solution. They want to do it again. This group has to be eliminated. And the very people that the Israelis have to eliminate, they're supposed to be feeding. I mean, because all this so-called humanitarian aid goes right into the pockets of Hamas. So instead, apparently, according to the Israelis a year ago in the Biden administration, we could have been trading hostages for fuel, except that the Biden administration insisted that the Israelis hand them the fuel, carte blanche. That's what caused another year of warfare and tragedy. Think about it. I mean, obviously, if the people are not getting fed, well, that's finally when they're going to revolt against Hamas. That's when the Gazan civilians are going to finally, you know, these guys are, sadly, they're worse than Nazis. We're talking about, during the Nazi Holocaust, Austrians, Germans, French, Hungarians, they protected Jews at great risk to their lives. The Israelis offered $5 million plus safety and security to anybody willing to help rescue a hostage from Gaza. You know how many phone calls they got? Zero. That really tells you something.
Where are they going with this, Paul? Here's what I don't understand. I mean, all the focus is on the ceasefire, but none of the problems have been solved. And yeah. like if you look at what Trump was trying to do with Ukraine, he wanted to A, get a ceasefire, so you just stop the killing, and then you go to the table and you negotiate a permanent solution. This is a ceasefire with no hope. With no hope of any permanent solution. So where are they going with this?
That's a great point. In fact, there's a word that seems to be missing that the three of us have talked a lot about on your show is surrender, right? Where's that word? I haven't seen a lot of that in the news of Hamas surrendering, right? Or Iran surrendering, or any of the proxies surrendering, Hezbollah, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not sure why that's not part of the deal. You know, I guess maybe the argument is a ceasefire is a step to that, but I don't know. It'd be nice to at least see that word somewhere. The goal is surrender.
You got to play this out. I mean, there's got to be a surrender, ceasefire, and then a negotiation for safe passage or whatever to get, you know, dump you in Iran or wherever you're going. But basically, the hostage exchange for the layman, it's like, okay, we get three hostages and we get a dead body, and they get like 88,000 guys let out of prison. Like, how's that work? And then
it's horrendous.
It's what like, where are we going? Like, what is the end game? The end game isn't a ceasefire. That doesn't solve anything.
Right. No, that's a great point. That's why it would be nice to start hearing that the end game is total surrender and, you know, Israeli control of ancient Jewish lands, i.e. the Gaza Strip, you know, facilitated ideally by the United States and others of getting real investment in there. I know folks make fun of President Trump when he's talking about hotels on the beautiful beaches of Gaza. He's not wrong, right? I mean, if folks pull out a map and see how much Mediterranean coastline Gaza has, you could turn that into a tourist mecca that's peaceful and democratic and healthy and free and, you know, and prosperous. But it could only be done with, you know, U.S. and other, you know, Western investment or peaceful nation investment and Israeli military control over the area. No question. And you're right. We need to hear more about it instead of just the ceasefire, which sounds like that's the goal in and of itself.
You might want to mock what Trump said, but at least that was an end game. Like, you know, his solution was, you know, get the Palestinians out and disperse them around other Middle Eastern countries. And then, you know, build it into a tourist mecca. Now, you know, it's a little far-fetched, but at least it was an answer. But we found out last week from Rabbi Mencken that nobody wants the Palestinians. Nobody wants them. I mean, Rabbi, that and in fact, over weeks, it got worse. Like, the resistance to taking them got worse. Why?
Well, it's obvious because these are people who've been indoctrinated since birth to hate Jews and love violence. I mean, that's what it's about. Yep. There's nothing coming out of Gaza. There's no new medical technologies. There's no inventions, no new cybersecurity invention. I mean, you go over the border into Israel, and all of those things are happening, which obviously are to the huge benefit of humanity. There's nothing coming out of Gaza for the huge benefit of humanity. It's been nothing but a sinkhole for European governments to send billions and billions of dollars, which, of course, the Hamasniks took and used to build tunnels underneath civilian buildings so that if you want to attack a Hamas terrorist, you have to kill civilians. And, of course, we're going to blame Israel for that. It's like Hamas commits war crimes, we're going to give Israel the blame. That's how it works. So if you move the Gazans out of Gaza, all of a sudden that goes away. So what are they going to do next? They're going to have to kill their neighbors. Well, okay, who wants to be neighbors with a genocidal terrorist? There's a reason, by the way, they talk about an ethnic cleansing out of Gaza. You're in this ethnic cleansing because they're cleaning out only Palestinians. Guess what? There's only Palestinian Muslim Arabs there because Hamas has killed everybody else.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the only real answer to this is not a ceasefire. It's the complete annihilation of Hamas by the IDF. So this is why I'm now, you know, I celebrated the ceasefire, but now I'm just getting up every day wondering what the, I mean, it's good that people aren't dying, but there's no end game. This is just, it's just, it's going to go on in perpetuity.
Yeah.
You know, because it's, as soon as 6 months into the ceasefire, there's going to be another October 7th. It's inevitable, isn't it? Because that's all they do.
And it's what they promised to do.
Right.
That's what they, yeah. That's what they promised to do. So I'm meeting on Wednesday night with Rabbi Nason Blumes. Have you heard of him, Rabbi?
Can't say.
So that's in Crown Heights, Brooklyn.
Chabad has a lot of great people. Don't worry. I'm sure you'll be in friends. They'll forbrang. You'll get a little scotch. You'll sit back. You'll enjoy. You'll all be friends. It's great.
The scotch part sounds good.
They're going to make you wear a yarmulke. That's the only thing.
it'll cover up my it'll cover up my fledgling comb over. So that's probably like a positive, right? So my head goes back. What? So I mean, all the focus right now is on Ukraine. What is Netanyahu going to do here? Now I'll go with Paul and then to Rabbi. Like, what does he do? What's his next move?
It is interesting, right? Because the Israel voted with the U.S. In the UN last week, right, on that resolution that would have, you know, declared Russia the aggressor in the situation. Israel stuck with the U.S. saying, you know, maybe not the greatest thing to be doing right now as we're trying to forge a peace agreement. You don't necessarily need to slap one of the two parties. That was interesting, right? Because, you know, most of the rest of the world said, Russia's the aggressor. We could see that. But I think Israel maybe took that as a sign of, hey, well, we're going to be with our American friends that are so strongly come around to being pro-Israel again under the Trump-Vance administration. We don't want to be seen as separate from the U.S. So that's interesting. So I think that's maybe Netanyahu's path. It's just, you know, kind of, you know, attach himself to Trump, to the United States government, praise the things that Trump is doing, and fortunately get from Trump freedom, the ability to kind of do what it needs to do in Gaza, which is why you see that video from Netanyahu over the weekend basically saying, hey, we are stopping, as Rabbi pointed out, we are stopping humanitarian shipments into Gaza. We are not feeding our enemies that turn around and use it against the Israeli people. We're going to crush terrorists wherever they are, Haifa and elsewhere, and just go from there. So, yeah, I think that's probably what we're seeing for the foreseeable future.
Rabbi?
Well, I agree totally with what Paula said, first of all, but what's going to have to happen is, first of all, total domination of the Gaza Strip by the Israeli army. No movement without going through a checkpoint. Yes, those humiliating checkpoints that save people's lives. Remember, it's due to Palestinian terrorism that you have to go through a humiliating checkpoint in order to board a plane. Mm. Remember that. In other words, this is about saving people's lives. I don't care how humiliating you find it, you deal, because you know, this is the thing. Like, when they have freedom of movement in Gaza, they move into Israel and kill Jews. That's a problem. We don't do that. And when you allow murderers to live next door to the people they wish to murder, I mean, it's like they were complaining for 20 years that that Gaza, which, by the way, had these magnificent five-star hotels, was a big jail. Well, God, sadly, a lot of these people need to be in a big jail, because if you let them have freedom of movement, they're going to kill people. So that's number one. And obviously, there has to come with what's called the denazification of Gaza. Removing the Nazi heritage from Germany was a huge goal of the Allied victory, to make sure that the Germans were educated to be decent human beings, not hateful people. Guess what? They did it. It can be done. But the only way it's going to be done is if the Muslim world cooperates.
Great point.
Rabbi Yaakov Menken, want to thank you, Executive Vice President, Coalition for Jewish Values. Also, my good friend, Paul Teller. Paul is a noted author and noted contributor and high-leverage thinker. Paul's a thinker. Hey, how come I didn't see you guys?
Always good to be with you.
How come I didn't see you guys at CPAC? Were you there?
You know what? It sounds dumb. I had a scheduling conflict. I'm sorry.
I didn't see the rabbi there. He's always there. He's a mainstay. I didn't see him. But look, I'm going to Crown Heights.
But I couldn't deal with this year.
Crown Heights, Brooklyn. I'll be there Wednesday, Thursday with my yarmulke. Guys, thanks for being with us.
You'll learn to dance the hora.
Great to be with you.
I'm looking forward to the scotch. Thanks, Rabbi.